So today we're continuing our new series called The Gospel, even though today I think is week 7 or 8, so it's not so new, but we continue it. We're studying the book of Colossians, whose author is the Apostle Paul. The recipient of the epistle or the letter is a young church in Colossae, a town on the banks of the river Lycus in Southeast Asia, or other words, it's now modern Turkey. Paul wrote this letter when he was in prison, sometime between 50 and 60 AD. In theological terms, Colossians is known as the Christological epistle. So it's all about Christ. Christ is at the center. He's at the beginning, the middle, and the end of this whole epistle. Colossians declares Christ as supreme and central. He's the reason for and ruler of all creation. He's the pre-existent and preeminent one. He is the image, fullness, and mystery of God, who is crucified, buried, and resurrected. He is the head of the church, now enthroned on high, as God's agent of redemption and reconciliation. He is the object of the church's worship, our behavior, and indeed our hope. As Paul says in Colossians 3:11, he says, Christ is all and is in all. Christ is all and is in all. And the reason Paul writes so much about Christ is to correct teachings, because this is a new church plant and there's people coming in bringing all kinds of teaching. And they say, oh yeah, Christ is important, but now you got my teaching, you got my philosophy, or you got my gifting. And Paul is saying, no, Christ is all and is in all. You know, there's times that we're always looking for something different, something extra, something deep, something exclusive, something for my group and your group that nobody else has. And Paul is correcting this and said, no, when you have Christ, you have all of God. You have everything that you need and you desire. So I want to begin with a simple question. It's a very profound question. And it's a question we keep asking again and again. Is Jesus Christ really enough? So here we are, the 25th of October, getting ready to lead into the Christmas season, and we're in lockdown again, phase 5, right through, indeed, the 32 counties, not alone just the 26. And when we started this earlier in the year, it was a little bit of a novelty. It really was. We didn't know what did it mean, a global pandemic. What was it like to be locked down? And I don't know about you, but I did some work in the house, I did some work in the garden, I did all of that. And it was a little novel thing. And then we built a sound studio here, the recording studio. We got church up and running online. And it was really, really nice. But now for a lot of people I'm hearing, this is more painful. And people are bringing into question about their faith, about who God is. And today I want to really answer that question. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is he to you? Who is he to the world and the cosmos and everything else? Is he someone who we just pats on the head on a Sunday for a little service? Or is he more? Is he enough for me, for my life? Is he enough for my family? Is he enough for the church? Is he enough to get me through this pandemic? Because we bring everything into question when it doesn't work out. We live in the McDonald's world, right? Yeah, I want a Big Mac, Diet Coke, and I want it now. And when someone says, sorry, sir, would you mind parking in the zone? Right, we're a bit late. You get annoyed because I want it and I want it now. And this has gone into our psyche. This has gone into our mind. This has become part of our behavior. God, I'm gonna pray the prayers this way. I'm going to pull the slot machine handle and out will come my answer in my time. That is not reality. And 2020 has proved that more than anything else. We are not in control of this world. We are not in control of the global pandemic. We're not in control of society. We're not even in control of our own destinies in a sense. We are not in control. So we must have somebody else who is in control. And what I want to do is to find out, is Jesus Christ really my anchor? Is he my cornerstone? Can I rely on him? Can I lean in him? Can I sleep in him? Can I rest in him? Can I awaken in him? Can I depend on him? And as we begin to discover these truths in this very short message, I want to remind us, what are we reading from? We're reading from God's word. This is not a comic, a newspaper, a philosophy, or a gathering of words that come up by some bright people. This is God's word, and this is what it says. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active. It's a living word. It's an active word, not just a dead word from 2,000 years ago. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So it splits together my thinking, my wisdom, my knowledge, right down to the Spirit of God. Joints and marrow, the very bones and the structure and the essence of who we are, the marrow that produces the blood itself. And it judges the thoughts and attitudes of my heart. I can come along and think I'm a wonderful fellow, but when I read the Word of God, it shows, okay, what's your attitude? What are your thoughts? What's going on? It exposes this. And 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says this, all scripture is God breathed. This is the breath, the ruach of God. This is his breath. So this is what we're looking at today. I'm not talking about just what I'm saying. I'm talking about what is the Word of God saying. And today, as we face our big, big lockdown for the next 6 weeks, as we face the questions about is God real and can I rely on him, we're not reading PJ's words. We're reading the words of God. It is his breath. And it says, what is the Word of God? Is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, or the man of God, or the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we're reading from Colossians 1:15 to 20. Now, just before I read it, it's really important to just open up this book in your Bible. So the beginning, Sean did a lot of the message in chapter 1 all the way up to verse 14. And when you look at this as a thanksgiving and prayer, it's kind of the introduction. And this morning and today as we begin then, verse 15, the title is The Supremacy of Christ. It's beginning, he's hitting in immediately, he's starting this letter, he's starting this book to this new church plant that was birthed over 2,000 years ago and to us right now because it's living and active, and he's beginning what is the main point of his letter. And he heads it by the supremacy of Christ. Reading from Colossians 1:15 to 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So this section alone can be taken as a confession of faith. You can declare this over your life, over your family, and indeed over our nation. Right here in six small verses, Paul addresses both the Colossian church of 2,000 years ago and you and I right here, right now. And it's because of these verses that Paul can say later in chapter 3 that Christ is in all and is all. He can say that. It's all about him. So is Jesus Christ supreme in all things? Is Jesus Christ enough? I would say to you today, when we finish this, he is more than enough. First of all, this word supremacy, what does it mean? When you looked it up in the dictionary, the noun says supremacy is domination, dominance, ascendancy, sovereignty, sway, lordship, mastery, dominion, primacy, preeminence, and predominance. It is about supreme power and absolute rule. He is all things. He is supreme. I have a couple of points today first. Number one, there is a connection between the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ. Now again, I'm reading books, I'm understanding these words. What does that mean? If he's supreme, he must be sufficient. So if he controls everything, surely he's able to supply our needs. Right? So it is about the supremacy and the sufficiency. And the entire book of Colossians is about the preeminence of Christ. That simply means he is superior to or notable above all others. He is outstanding. There is no one else like him. He is all rule and dominion and authority all in Christ. So Jesus Christ is Lord of all creation, things that we can see and things that we cannot see. Everything that has ever been made is all through him. He's the one who created everything. He's the God of the universe, the image of the invisible God. Jesus is God with flesh on. We could never see God because he fills the universe. But somehow in the representation of Jesus, who took flesh upon himself, we see God. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Why? Because he's God of all, he's sufficient to bring us through. That because when the day that you committed your life to Jesus, he can bring you all the way through to that place in heaven. He can fulfill all the promises in your life. All the prophecies, all those words that popped off the scriptures for you, he will bring it all to completion because he is more than enough. He is able. He is sufficient to do it. So surely, if he is the creator of all, surely today he can keep you. He can sustain you. He can calm you. He can be your hope. Take a breath. Take a breath. We need to take a breath. We need to stop in the midst of sometimes turmoil or anxiety or fear. We just stop and take a breath and say, okay, remind me who Jesus is again. He's the God of heaven and earth. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. That the same God who started this work, I can trust he's going to bring it to completion. I can place my trust. I can place my hope in him. The second point today, the connection between Christ as creator and redeemer. Colossians 1:16 says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, our powers, our rulers, our authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He's the one who created you. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You were created by him. You were knitted in his mother, in your mother's womb by him. You're his design. Before the earth began, he saw you. He made you. He created you. He has given you life and breath. He's the one who allows us to function. He's the one who allows us even to breathe. He created everything in the material world, the spiritual world, the seen and the unseen. So the skin and bone and the spirit within us is holy to God. We have to correct this nonsense that says we're only spirit. Everything else is no, we're body, soul, and spirit. It's so important. He was the one who created us. He gave us this flesh. He gave us this mind. He gave us this intellect and this will and this cognition and filled us with his Holy Spirit. So all is holy. So if you pray today, consider that as a spiritual thing. If you dig a ditch today and you're committed to Jesus and everything in line is committed to Christ, consider that also a spiritual thing. If you're driving a truck and Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, consider that a spiritual thing. If Jesus Christ is Lord of all, or Lord, not Lord at all. Can you get this? He's either Lord of all or he ain't Lord at all. So when you come along and say, I am a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, not just on Sunday, not just when you're listening to something on a screen or a podcast, but even if you're sitting at home and you're watching Netflix and your life is committed to Christ, he's Lord of all your life, your family, your dreams, your aspirations, whatever it might be, your fears, your hopes, he's Lord of all. And it is all considered spiritual when we're in Christ. And it's so important that we commit our lives to Jesus. Our prayer, our worship, our family, everything is committed to him. And this relationship is not about one aspect. It's about every single aspect. Do you see, he is creator and he is redeemer. This is so important. On the day I gave my life to Jesus, he bought me back into his original plan and purpose of my life. You know, oftentimes people look at someone and say, ah, he's a waste of time or she's a waste of time. No, when you're in Christ, there's no such thing as a waste of time. He can bring you back from your family. He can bring you back from your history and even generational history. He can bring you back from curses. He can bring you back from sin. And he will redeem and buy you back to his original plan. He can buy your mind back. He has bought all that back. Your intellect, everything that you are, how you articulate, how you work out in this world. He is interested in every single aspect of your life. Not just that thing that we think is my spirit when I go to heaven. Every single thing. Your exams, what you read, what you study, your friends, your interactions, your relationships. He has redeemed all of you. And he can because he created you. And he can because he holds the whole earth in the very palm of his hand. He holds everything. My third point, Christ before time, on earth, and overall. There's times, you know, when you look at a scripture and you take it apart bit by bit, and we call that expository preaching. And there's other times when you stand back, you read it, and you say, okay, what's the essence? What's the main point in this? Again, let me read this, because as I read this scripture, I believe what happens is this releases the power of God. This releases something of the anointing of God. This releases something of faith within our hearts that we realize that God is real. Again, Colossians 1, 15 to 18. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, our powers, our rulers, our authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things held together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. In this, Paul is telling us that Christ existed before all things, that he created all things, that he is over all authority, and that he holds the earth, you and I, together. He holds us together. He is the head of the church. What's the church is what? The called out ones. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you become part of his body, you become part of the church, local, national, and global. He defeated death. And he's the supreme Lord of all. What Paul is also addressing here is the false teaching that says, okay, that's good. That's good. You can have Christ, but you have to have my teaching. You have to have my philosophy. You have to have my add-ons. When we receive Christ, we receive everything that God has for us. Everything. Absolutely everything. Now, there's a time to mature. When you come to know the Lord on day one, you don't know everything. Day two, year one, 10 years, 20 years, we're continuously learning about this revelation of God. We're continually studying and in the Spirit of God and walking by the Spirit. So we mature, and it's from ever-increasing glory. But on day one, we have received everything that we need. Now we have to walk it out and work it out for the rest of our lives. Now here's some sub-points when it comes to this scripture to break it down a little bit better. Christ and creation. We see from verses 15 to 17 that Christ is the creator and sustainer of what? Of all things. Of all things. Get that into you. All things. Absolutely. But let us not consider what the verses tell us about creation itself, but what does it tell us about Christ? What does it tell us about his supremacy and his sufficiency? And again, under that subheading, in creation, Christ is supreme. Colossians 1:16, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Regardless of what you might read or heard, there is no power in heaven, above heaven, under heaven, in earth, under your bed, on top of your bed, the middle heavens or anything else that can oppose Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate power. He is supreme. He is and was alone. He holds everything together. You've got to know that. This gives us confidence. This becomes our foundation. This becomes our anchor, especially in these times when we don't know what's happening and going on. We need to have that. So all things were created through him. Things in heaven and earth, but PJ, not the devil, because it seems to me like the devil is pretty big. It seems to me like this whole yin and yang thing, you know, this, you had light and darkness, the inequality, it seems to me that sounds pretty good to me. But he says all things. Things that you see with your eye, things that you perceive with your mind, and things that you cannot even see. Things you do know nothing about. He created everything. The devil, angels, the demonic, good, bad, the ugly. He created everything. He holds all things and sustains all things. And one day, every single knee will bow before Christ. This means this whole equality about goodness and darkness and all that, there's a load of rubbish. Rubbish! Maybe I haven't made my point clear. Jesus created everything. The devil, the demons, for his will and his purpose. And nothing has dominion over Christ. Nothing. There is no eternal battle going on. The battle is within us. Actually, it says the battle is here within my mind. But the devil is not fighting Christ. He's fighting us. The devil is not opposing Jesus. He's opposing us. We are in the battle. But when we, because we're hidden in Christ, because he's Lord of our lives, because he's sustainer of our lives, and we keep our eyes on him, and we keep our mind fixed on him, the devil might oppose us, but he cannot overcome us. He cannot overcome us. He cannot win the day. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. This is more of the Bible. We have to live this out so much. The NIV says, all things have been created through him and for him. The Passion Translation says this, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Everything finds its purpose in him. We were created for him and by him. Does this mean, PJ, that I have purpose in my life, that I'm not an accident? Does this mean that I can really trust God? Does this mean that I can rely on him and he can bring me through this pandemic? Does this mean that even though I'm going to be let off like 600,000 people in Ireland right now, does this mean he can sustain me? Does this mean that I will not let my family down? Does this mean? Yes, it does. It means somehow or another he will get us through this season. Somehow or another he will sustain us, me and my family, my kids and my grandkids, and for generations to follow, because he's Lord of all. And I've declared his lordship over my life, over my son's life, over my grandkids' life. I declared that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. I can rely on him. He is my hope. He is my anchor. He can keep me. He can sustain me. He can keep you and sustain you today. He is your anchor. He is your Lord. And he is sufficient. He is all powerful. He just doesn't speak it. He can do it. He can do it because he's God of heaven and earth. He can bring you through coronavirus. He can bring you through unemployment. He can bring you through if you've been earning hundreds and you're going back to your 350. If you're not earning enough and you're on your 203. Or you think you might get the coronavirus and you're nervous about walking around. He can keep you. He can sustain you. And even if you do get coronavirus, he can bring you through this. Can you hear me? So it's not about not getting or not getting, but whatever happens, whatever you get or don't get, Christ can bring you through the valley of the shadow of death. He will lead you. He will keep you. He will sustain you. The next point is, in creation, Christ is sufficient. Again, Colossians 1, 15 to 17, the Son is the image of the invisible God. Can you find this word beginning to get from your mind into your heart? Dropping from your ears into that place where faith, within the depths of your mind, where faith is built, where faith is strengthened, where we're exposed to the faith. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and then earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. Paul is saying all things are under Christ. He is the sufficient, adequate, enough. He is more than enough for me. He is more than enough for you today. He is more than enough for you for during this season. He will bring us through. Let me tell you, this is not my number one choice of doing church. I loved it, and I thank God for his provision. And it's done with a lot of people and a lot of work and a lot of expertise, and we're going to continue to do this. But I also want to see us back in church. I also want to be able to give people a hug. I also want to be able to go for coffee. I also want to have fellowship with people. This is not my number one choice, but I'm going to trust that God would bring me through this season. I'm going to trust that God would bring his church through. And as we go through it, he will strengthen me. He will strengthen my faith. He will challenge me about, PJ, where are you putting your hope? Who are you looking? Are you looking to politicians? Are you looking to the next professor that comes on TV and tells me? Are you looking for something that's going to inject hope into me? Are you looking to the God of heaven and earth, the one that you call Lord of all? And I declare today, according to his word, that we can rely on him. We can trust him. You know the old expression? We can bring it to the bank. He is the Lord of all. Christ is adequate. He's enough. He's enough for my breath, my peace, my sanity, my career, my marriage, my dreams, my hopes. He's enough. He is enough. Can you hear me today? He is enough for you. Okay, next is Christ and the church. Christ is supreme over created order, but Christ is also supreme over his church. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And see, here we see Christ creating again. You see, all the way through Genesis, it was Christ who created everything from the very beginning, but now he's back creating again. The church is not just a replacement for Israel. Don't get confused. The church is not plan B. Oh, plan A didn't work out. Let's come on. No, the church, from before time began, the church has always been God's perfect plan, right? The church was a plan from the very beginning. So important. And so important that we see that when we come to know Jesus Christ, we're filling into his creation, because he's got a plan and a purpose for your life before you were birthed. Now, most of us, and especially like me, I was 33, so I was working at my own plan. I was doing my own thing. I was working my own direction. But the moment I came into step with what Christ had, I got back into his plan, into his original created form. So when I looked at myself and I thought, you know, you're a mistake. You're no good. Jesus said, no, hey, come into my plan, because I have good for you. I've got a perfect plan for you. You're my kid, and that's what he's saying to you today. Step into his plan. John Stott says this about the church. The church lies at the very center of the eternal purpose of God. The church is not an accident of history. On the contrary, the church is God's new community. When we see Jew and Gentile coming together, forming the body of Christ. Verse 18 goes on to say, Colossians 1:18, he's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Christ is the first to rise from the dead. He's the author of life, and death has no power over him. And he has made a way for him. He's the first, but we follow. Death holds no fear for us. Death holds no power from us. In the twinkling of an eye, I will close my eyes here on earth and open them to be immediately into his presence. Next is God with us in Christ. Colossians 1:19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. There's nothing lacking in Jesus. There's no lacking in Jesus Christ. Nothing. All of the fullness of God. Jesus is all of God with flesh on. When we're filled with all of God. You know, when people say there's deeper. No, the deep thing is Christ within us. The secret thing and the wisdom is Christ within me. The great mystery hidden from ages, we're going to look at in a couple of weeks' time, is Christ within me. That's what it is. That's the secret. That's everything we need. Then we have God for us in Christ. Colossians 1:19 to 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. God is pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ with a purpose. There is a purpose. And through Christ, he could reconcile all things, things on earth and things in heaven. And the question is how? How did he do this? by making peace between God and man through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, by the shedding of his blood on the cross. Christ came that he might die. Christ came to earth to take your place and my place, that we would not have to die. He came to make a way for us, to reconcile, to buy us back into his original plan. Which really brings me to my next point. Reconciliation is a work of God. The Bible is not a story of man's search for God, but God reaching down to man. The very first words in Genesis says, in the beginning. Then John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus came to save us. My next point, reconciliation is a work that is accomplished. It is over. It is complete. Romans 5:10. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We have been reconciled by the work of Christ. God, the creator of heaven and earth, took flesh upon himself. He came to earth to make a way from us. He came to earth to pay the price for us, to buy us back. You are a completed work. You are complete. And today we're going to finish because I'm going to continue this next week, part two, because there's more. But what are we discovering today? That Jesus Christ is God with flesh on. That Jesus Christ is creator of all things. That he who began a good work in you will and can and has the power and authority to bring it to completion. That no matter what circumstances, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on, he can keep you. He can keep us through this pandemic. If you feel trapped, I want to give you a way of escape. If you're at home right now and you're looking at this, whether it is on your TV screen, you know, on your phone, on some kind of a screen, you're looking, I want to give you a way out. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. And he's the way to life. See, he has come that we may have life and have that life in its fullness. What does that mean? Because sometimes we bandy these words around. What on earth does it mean to have life? It means you can go to bed at night and put your head on the pillow and you can sleep in peace. It means you can read about people dying in this pandemic, about 600,000 jobs going, about everything closing down, about wondering even, will we have Christmas? You can read about all that, and yet you can have peace in your heart because you can know, I'm safe, I'm secure, it is well with my soul. You see, to have life is not to have all these worries and fears and doubts, but to have life is to know that there is one who holds you and your family and this nation of Ireland. Absolutely, over 6 million people. That he holds us and sustains us by his power. And his power is all sufficient. He can do it. He's not a bragger. He can do it. Jesus is your way out. And you may be here today and you said, PJ, I know Jesus for 30 years. He still needs to be your way out. Because what happens? Fear comes in. Fear comes in. Fear comes running in that door. And fear is real. And there's times that we fear. And what does he say right through the scripture? Do not fear. Do not fear. Put your trust in me. So Jesus is your way forward. He is your way out of that place. Of when you come along and you don't know what's happening, he knows. That's okay. You don't know when this is going to end. That's okay. He knows that. You don't know if you're going to have enough money for Christmas. That's okay. He can keep and sustain you. You don't know if this end now or in January 21 or January 20. We don't know, but he knows. And if you're looking at this screen right now and you've never invited Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, Let me just tell you, that means he's not. It's really simple. He's a gentleman. He doesn't kick down doors. And there's a scripture in the Bible in the very last book of Revelation. And it says this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, and if you invite me in, I will come in and be with you and you with me. If you want Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, right here, right now. Look, you might be sitting in on your couch, lying in your bed, in your car, trying to get that connection. Wherever you are, don't feel odd, but I want you to close your eyes and allow me to lead you in a prayer. So if you want to close your eyes with me. Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Today I hear you knocking on the door of my heart. Lord, I open this door. I open my heart to you. I invite you into my life. I give you my life. I give you my family. I give you my hopes. I give you my dreams. I give you my fears. I give you my doubts. I give you my worries. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to cleanse me. I give you my life, and I receive your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've done that for the very first time, you know, I started this journey 29 years ago, and it's a series of steps. And if you go to our website, just openarms.ie, just go in and see Connect. There's a little card. We want to keep in touch with you. We want to help you take that next step. But just as we conclude, for all of us who are looking in today, I'd like to pray for us. What do you know Jesus 40 years? Or you're one of those people you've just made a commitment to him right now. Allow me to pray. Lord, I want to, Lord, again declare that you are the all-sufficient God. You're the God of heaven and earth. You're God of the seen and the unseen, of the past, the present, and the future. Lord, I haven't got a clue what's going on with this pandemic. We have not got a clue when it's going to end, when the solution is going to come, but you have. And Lord, again, Lord, we surrender to your will. We surrender to you, the all-sufficient one, the all-powerful one, the all-knowing one. And I pray, Lord, that your peace will come by the power of your Spirit, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that indeed we can say Jesus Christ is Lord of all. God bless you. Have a great day.